Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today we're talking the Red Ink Beyond the Book Conference for Writers with the conference organizer and presenter, Tanisha Johnson, and my second guest is Sadia Farooqi, author of Brick Walls, Tales of Hope and Courage from Pakistan. First up is Tanisha Johnson, who is an editor with her company So It Is Written, LLC, and author of two books, When the Smoke Clears and 100 Words of Encouragement, and she has a new book coming out soon, and she has been aching to put on a conference for writers, and it is happening May 14th with the Red Ink Beyond the Books Conference. And I want to welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio, Ms. Tanisha Johnson. Hello.
Hello, Andrea. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. Okay, so it has finally happened, and I want to talk about it. I know you've wanted to put on this conference for a long time, and since it's been a burning desire of yours for a long time, tell us why you have wanted so badly to do it.
Thank you, Andrea. Well, first of all, the Red Ink Conference is a little bit different than your typical writer's conference. This conference will focus on writing from the editor's point of view. It will offer self-editing tips that you can do yourself as an author before you send your manuscript to a professional editor. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need to pay a professional editor. You still do. But, again, it's giving you those tools so that when your manuscript does go to a professional editor, you can save both time and money. Now, Andrea, there's also another fold to the conference. The conference is called the Red Ink Conference, and the original vision for the conference was to have a conference as a platform for a training ground for people who want to become editors and proofreaders. While a lot of people may edit or proofread for a magazine or a newspaper, it's very different when you're editing for manuscripts. So there will actually be people there who aren't authors, but people who are looking to start their own proofreading and editing business.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, so that does have a nice little spin to it. So what will be covered during the conference? I know you said there's going to be a lot of tips on self-editing, but what does all that entail?
Right. So the self-editing tips, of course, we'll talk about the common mistakes that some self-published authors make as well. We'll also talk about e-books. We're going to cover audiobooks. You know, I did my first audiobook this year, and it's just been phenomenal, just the experience. And I think a lot of authors don't take the time to actually tap into the audiobooks. But it's a huge platform, and reality is not everybody can sit down and read your book. So why not kick out a CD, and people can listen to it in the car, or they can listen to it while they're at work on their computer. So just talking about those other platforms that exist, you write a book. But, again, you have to start. You have to get the book done.
Right, right. Okay, so I want you to back up a little bit because you said something that's very near and dear to my heart, and it's some of those common mistakes that self-published authors make. What are just a few of those common mistakes? I know I have my own, but you have a different, I'd like to hear your take on what are some of those common mistakes that self-published authors do that you're going to help them try to avoid through your conference.
Absolutely. So some of the pitfalls that I see is actually the very first one I'm going to say is self-published authors don't set a budget. They don't set a budget for their project. So they don't know going in how much they should spend, how much it's going to cost. You know, and some people get into the middle of the process, and it's like, well, I don't have any money to finish the book. So you've started a project now, and you're frustrated, and you don't have anything to show for it. The other thing is a lot of self-published authors think, well, I'm a graphic designer, and I'm an author, so I can design my own book cover. And to some people, that may be true. But, again, I think with the self-publishing industry versus the traditional publishing industry, it's almost like a slap in the face. Like, they can kind of look at covers, or they can kind of look at books and see, okay, well, I can tell that this is self-published. And my goal is to get self-published authors to a point where if a traditional publisher sees your book, they don't know whether it's self-published or not. You know, so it should really look like it's coming from Random House, Baker & Taylor, you know, the big heavy hitters in the publishing industry. It shouldn't look like, you know, you went step by step and did everything yourself. If you even did, maybe you use a small publisher. But even still, some people just want to skip that process. A lot of people want to skip the editing process. And they're like, oh, my mother's a teacher. My best friend used to edit for a newspaper, so I had them look at it. You know, I've heard it all. And, again, I understand that people are trying to save money, but that's why this conference is important, because we're going to give you some tools to help you save time and money. But at the end of the day, you still have to pay a professional editor. You still have to pay a professional cover designer. Those are your two most important pieces that will help the book sell.
Oh, you are just lighting my fire with all that. I am so with you with everything you said, especially the part about, you know, your book should match what a traditionally published book looks like coming off, you know, coming off the press. There should be no distinction from a self-published author's book to a professionally published or traditionally published author's book. There should be no difference. And that's the thing that and, you know, the editing quality, those are some of the things that really discredit self-published authors, even though self-publishing is coming up the ranks so much more now. But there are still some pitfalls that we as self-published authors need to overcome, and we should overcome, because we want to be right up there when it comes with the traditionally published authors and say, look at my book, you can't tell the difference, ha-ha.
Absolutely. And you really shouldn't be able to tell the difference. And the other thing that we're presenting, well, two more things, Andrea. Valerie J. Lewis-Coleman is coming in from Dayton, Ohio. She's a small publisher, but she's been doing publishing for like over 10 years now. But she has a book that walks people through the self-publishing process, everything you need, where to get the copyright, where to file your Library of Congress registration, where to get your barcode, you know, how to get that ISBN, and how to even typeset your own manuscript so you can save money. You know, you come to this conference, you buy her book, it will walk you through the traditional self-publishing process, and you've done it yourself. You still have to pay an editor. You still need to pay a cover designer, but you could have your ebook essentially up, you know, in a few weeks, as opposed to waiting on your print copies to release the ebook.
Right. Okay, so I want you to make it absolutely clear why self-editing is good, but also why paying a professional editor is just the best.
Absolutely. So self-editing is good for you, you know, to kind of work out the kinks before you send it to a professional editor. And what I like to say is it's like throwing money in the trash. If I edit your book and I send it back to you and you feel like I need to rewrite this section. So that's like throwing money in the trash. That's like undoing the job that I just did for you. So essentially, when you send it to a professional editor, you should really be ready to take your hands off. So when they send it back to you, you aren't rewriting, you aren't adding whole sections. At that point, you're ready to go to print. You're just waiting on your editor to get done doing what they're doing. And also from the self-editing standpoint, what I find is you can find a lot of your own mistakes if you read the manuscript out loud. Literally, I don't care if it's 200 pages. Print it out, sit down, read it out loud, get a group of friends, read in different voices so that you can hear the tone of the piece. You know, maybe you said something that comes off offensive to somebody in the room. You know, you need to know that going in. Of course, your editor should catch that as well. But you as an author may say, I didn't really want it to come off like that, so let me rewrite that. You know, so that's the benefit of the self-editing piece before you go to the editor.
Okay, good. Thank you for that. And so now you mentioned Valerie Coleman is on board to present, and you're presenting as well. And who else is part of the program?
So we have Onita Jackson. former Detroit County Editor's Award-winning with the Detroit Free Press for like 11 years. And she just jumped on board, but I am so excited. She's going to open up for us to talk about the voice of your writing and maintaining the voice of your writing. So this should be a really exciting conference. We've only got 5 hours, so we can't tell you everything about the publishing industry, but I think it's a good start to get people started and to light that fire.
That's going to be hot. That is going to be hot because, you know, Olivia is going to she's going to be strong and make people laugh, and laughter is good, but it's such a way to understand the point. Conference? Who is the conference for? Who should definitely want to make it there?
So any self-published authors, for sure. Even if you think you want to write a book, this is a good place to hear the ins and outs of the business, learn about the process, because, Andrea, a lot of people don't even know the process. They don't know what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know, you know, okay, I wrote the book, now I know I need to find an editor. You know, then what? So what I find mm-hmm. is a lot of self-published authors are missing those key things. Like, I may get a book and it may not have the price on the back, or it may not even have a barcode. You know, just kind of missing the key steps that we need to have with our project. So, again, even if you are looking to open a business as an editor or a proofreader and you think, you know, this is my passion, you know, these words just jump off the page at me and I can see an error a mile away, this conference is for you, because we'll also talk about how to set up, you know, an editing business and what you should charge and, you know, what you need to get going and to get started in that business.
You are going to be filling in some wonderful blanks for people who, like you said, just don't know. They don't know the process and
they don't know
what it takes. Yeah, they just don't know. So, sometimes they don't know what they don't know, and you're going to let them know that. But give us the details, you know, the time, location, and the cost.
Sure. So it is Saturday, May 14th. It is at the Crystal Room, which is in East Point, Michigan. And I probably only have about 24 seats left. The early bird special registration ends on April 1st at 7 a.m. Okay, I said it purposely to end at 7 a.m. on April 1st. So if you get up at 6:30 in the morning, you still can get the early bird special rate. After 7 a.m. from April 1st all the way up until the day of, it will be $67. Okay, and if you come at the door, and you just say, "Hey, I just decided to come today," it's going to be $85.
Whoa! Okay, get it in early, people.
Get
it in early.
I mean, if I still have seats, I can accommodate people at the door. However, I have to charge more. I have to allow for food and materials and all of that. So yeah.
Right, definitely. And where can people go to register?
Absolutely, Andrea. So the event is hosted through eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com. If for some reason you cannot find it, go to Facebook, search the Red Ink Conference. There's a group there where I've been interacting with authors almost every day, and I'm going to kick it up a notch for the next 30 days. I've been dropping tips there and tidbits and everything for them. So if you can't find it, reach out to me on Facebook or search for the event page on Facebook.
Okay, very good. Eventbrite, and look for the Red Ink Conference. It is going to be
Saturday,
so good. Saturday, May 14th.
Yes.
Wonderful. And just right quick, talk about your years as an editor, because you're putting a lot into this on the editing tip, and you have a definite passion for editing.
Absolutely. So I've been editing for over 15 years. I started out in newspaper. I still edit for certain magazines. And it's just my passion. So now I'm solely, you know, concentrating on editing for manuscripts. But I've been doing it for over 15 years. And now I actually have a team of people who work with me to edit the manuscripts. So the business has grown over the last 6 years. And it's just wonderful. I love it. I'm editing in my sleep. I'm editing at a restaurant when I open a menu and they have a typo. Or if I'm on 75 and I see a typo on a street sign, I'm editing. So people know me as that.
That you just got it in your soul. Well, Tanisha Johnson, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and I feel like I need to be at the Red Ink Conference myself, so you may see me there on the 14th, but if I decide, I'm going to definitely get in before 7 a.m. on April 1st. Thank you so much for being on
April
the show.
April 1st, 7 a.m. Thank you so much, Andrea. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Thank you. And that was Tanisha Johnson talking about her Red Ink Conference. And next up on Michigan Literary Network Radio is Sadia Faruqi, who's with us to talk about her new book, Brick Walls, Tales of Hope and Courage from Pakistan. And Sadia Faruqi is a Pakistani-American writer of fiction and nonfiction. She writes for a number of publications, including Huffington Post and the Islamic Monthly, about the global contemporary Muslim experience and about interfaith dialogue. She has trained law enforcement on cultural sensitivity issues and offers community college classes on a variety of topics related to Islam and Muslims. She is editor-in-chief at Of Blue Minaret, a magazine for Muslim art, poetry, and prose. Her short stories have been published in several American literary journals and magazines such as Catch and Release, On the Rusk, In Flight, and the Great American Literary Magazine. And I want to welcome Sadia Faruqi to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello, Sadia.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. So tell us about Brick Walls. What is it about, and why did you write it?
Well, it's a short story collection based in my birth country. I was born and raised in Pakistan. I came here to the U.S. in my early 20s. And when I came here, I realized that people had a lot of questions about Pakistan, especially these days. It's in the news a lot for many negative things, sadly. Mm-hmm. And people did not have a true or accurate picture of the culture and the people and the customs, traditions of that beautiful place. And so I wanted to write something, being a writer that I am, that would appeal to people who didn't want to maybe just read academic articles or news reports, but more in a fictional form.
That's very good. You wanted to give people a different impression of your home. And so can you give us a little reading from the book, Sadia?
Sure. It's a collection, as I said. So there are 7 short stories, and the one that I chose is especially relevant these days. I wish that it wasn't so, but there is one story in the collection called Paradise Reinvented, which is about a young man who falls into the trap of a terrorist network in Pakistan, which is a common thing over there. And people have just a very stereotypical or very black and white image of this is how people are either good or bad. And I wanted to show a multifaceted or complex approach to why things like this happen. So this story is what I'm reading, just a very short paragraph, a minute or two from the short story Paradise Reinvented. So this young man has just had a lot of bad things happen to him, and it's kind of his anger and frustration that's coming through. She left as quietly as she had arrived, and silence descended upon him once more. After 3 years of love poems, secret glances across rooms, clandestine meetings among graves, he didn't even deserve a goodbye. He gazed around the cemetery with greedy eyes. The wind had picked up speed, howling with the same desolate intensity as his soul. He wanted to shed tears, but they were jammed hotly inside him after years of hearing that boys don't cry, as if boys don't have feelings, as if boys were robots whose only job was to make others feel safe and provided for, as if couldn't feel sadness, frustration, or despair. He could easily have screamed or smashed the branches of the mulberry tree that had witnessed this painful scene. He was sure that would be considered acceptable male behavior. But he felt it would be disrespectful to all the weary souls resting at his feet, fused once again to allow his swirling emotions to vent. So that was just a short piece of, a larger picture of how he goes on to become more and more frustrated and angry, and how that leads him to a very difficult path.
And that you're so right about, especially about what is going on and what people hear about your country and what we know to be true and what we don't know to be true about your country. And you are giving, you gave a very good example of what young boys go through there. Have you actually had an experience or known someone who has gone through those feelings, or are you pulling this, you know, from your own imagination based on reality? You know what I mean?
I haven't, thankfully, had anybody that I know go through this, but it's very common. And like I like to say that my book, Brick Walls, is fiction based on reality. So even though it is fiction, none of those stories are things that could just have happened to me or someone else, but they are so real because they happen to people every day. There's a story about, you know, a poor woman whose son gets so sick, and what does she do? How does she doesn't have money to take him to the hospital, or a rich woman who's being abused by family, and how does she get out of it? And so very difficult situations that happen all the time, but there's still hope and courage. And at the end of every story, you feel that, wow, these people are strong and they're resilient and they're doing everything that they can.
That is a really good example of things that to do to give hope. And that's what the book is, Tales of Hope and Courage from Pakistan. Did you run into any challenges that you had to overcome while writing the book, as far as, you know, feelings that you had to deal with, or some pitfalls in the writing process or the manufacturing process that you had to overcome?
I think, you know, well, and you know that a writer faces challenges throughout. It's not just about writing. It's about getting your stories heard. I would say that the hardest part for me, and I know a lot of Muslim writers in the world today, is getting their stories heard. A lot of publishers are hesitant to pick up stories or publish books that may have, you know, may not sell well because they're telling stories that people, they think, don't want to hear. But since my book has been published by a small press, I have just found the overwhelming support that shows me from readers that, no, people do want to read this stuff. It's not, everyone doesn't want to read the stereotypical story about, you know, good versus bad. People want to hear about nuance, and they want to know what's going on in the world. And I think that publishers sometimes don't want to take that step because it may hurt the bottom line, but slowly I think it will get better.
Okay. That is good. That is a good point that you bring about the small press and them wanting to support you and wanting to work with you.
Absolutely.
So you live in Houston, Texas, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you're coming in to Nicola's Books in Ann Arbor for a book signing on April 6th. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I was here earlier, it was just after my book was released in June. I came over the summer to Detroit, and I had a book signing at another bookstore, and this time, again, I'm going to be here at Nicola's. I've heard great things about them. I try to travel, which, you know, doesn't always happen the way I want it, but especially with being with a small press, you have to do a lot of your own publicity, and so I'm excited to get a chance to just be here in the greater Detroit area and showcasing my book and talking about my experiences, and, you know, I hope that there will be a good turnout.
Yes, yes. So let's let everybody know it's April 6th at 7 p.m. and Nicola's Books is at 2513 Jackson Avenue in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Sadia, tell everybody where they can go online to keep up with you, and if they, you know, need to rehear or re-find out where the Nicola's is, they can find out from your website. Let everybody know your web address and how they can find you online.
It's on, I believe Nicola's Books, I'm not sure about their address, but you can just type Nicola's Books and it'll come up. But my website is sadiafaruqi.com, so it's www.saadiafaruqi.com. And it's really simple. I have a lot of also my nonfiction writing on there because I do a lot of articles, like you said, Huffington Post and areas like that. I do law enforcement training, and so a lot of my experiences on interfaith and law enforcement training are on my website. So it's not just about my book, but a lot of things that I'm doing that hopefully people will find interesting and intriguing. They can get on there. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook and a lot of other places. But and the book, of course, is available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and several other places.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And I want to thank you for contacting me to be a guest on the radio show. I enjoy the conversation. And I want to thank you, too, for taking the chance to change the story from what people normally hear to something of hope. And just you doing that and writing that story is a tremendous thing that you've done. So I want to thank you for that. And I want to extend a warm welcome to Michigan in advance of your arrival next week. So I thank you for being here.
Thank you. I know it's going to be a great trip, and, you know, it's just I need support of people who are willing to open their minds and hear a different perspective, because we all grow when we do that.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. Open your mind to hear a different perspective. Thank you so much, Saudiya. And you have a good book signing next week.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You are so welcome. Take care. And that was Saudiya Farooqui on Michigan Literary Network Radio. I want to thank her and our first guest, Tanisha Johnson. So be sure to check Saudiya out on her at her website at SAAD as in door IA, S as in Frank, ARUQI.com, SaudiyaFarooq.com. And for the Red Ink Conference, find them on Facebook and Eventbrite. And that's all there is for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at www.motownwriters.com and on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 to hear more literary good stuff. And I'm biased about next month because I am primarily a poet. I do a lot of other writing, but primarily I'm a poet. And next month is National Poetry Month. And my guest, my first guest up for National Poetry Month is Detroit poet Berhinda Williams, and she'll fill us in on her latest poetic venture. And I'm going to be doing some readings of poets that I love and have some poets call in. But we are just going to have a great time during National Poetry Month here on Michigan Literary Network Radio. I am Andrea Daniel for Michigan Literary Network Radio and the Michigan Literary Network. And I want to thank you out there, as always, for listening. I appreciate you so much. And I want you to have a good rest of your evening. And until next week, write good things and live a good story. Good night.